excited about the new paints?
Kinda. Like, I have so many paints.
I know, that's the way I feel.
I mean, look, I have the entire Vallejo set in that case. I've got just tons of P3, tons of workshop, like, the foundation stuff. I mean, I've played with the paints.
Yeah, did you go to the store and play with them?
Yeah, from what I can tell, the layer paints are a little thin.
Yeah.
But everything else is, like, double the quality. The foundation paints are better. They don't separate into four different colors while you're using
them. But I like that!
The washes are really good. The new colors of washes are really good. They handle really well. The glazes are really nice.
I do.
As far as quality goes, Workshop actually, like, did well.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I was like, I kind of laugh at is like, it's like, this is going to change the way you paint! No, it's not, because I have all this other stuff at home from other companies.
I already have plenty of paints. But I mean, for a beginning hobbyist, like, and almost everybody begins a hobby with Workshop.
Well, this is like the third major shift in paints in GW. I mean, the first one was when they switched from like the little tiny little.
Well, there was the big coat to arms.
Yeah, well,
that was the first.
Yeah, that was like, what is coat to arms used to be the Citadel colors. Yeah. And then when that changed to, like, the little hexagon pots, that was, like, the first major change.
Yeah. But, I mean, the colors are all pretty much the same.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just a change in the way it was done. I hated those fucking twist-off caps. Remember how, like, they would get stuck?
And they would just wreck all of your paints?
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, I need to use this tentacle pink or warlock purple or a color I don't use often. You unscrew it, and it's like, oh, it's a solid chunk.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Or it would be, like, so tight. It would be so locked in that you try and, like, open it. You get, like, pliers, and then you try and open it up with your teeth.
Yeah,
those, and then break your teeth.
Those screw tops were awful. But I still there's a lot of conspiracy theorists around who say that those lids were designed to dry out your paints, so you'd have to buy more.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. And then there was the shift to this new style, which is actually an old style because other companies have been doing it for a long time. Vallejo and Reaper.
Yeah, although I like the fact that the paints are all clearly labeled.
Yeah.
As what they are. So, like, it's such a good starting point for a, you know, brand new hobbyist. Because, you know, when I first started Workshop, I had no fucking idea what I was doing. So, like, if I needed something to be red, I just grabbed red paint. And I was like, I'm going to paint this red.
And you do
like,
that a lot still.
Why isn't it working? Why is this red not showing up? How come I can see everything through it? This is bullshit.
My favorite is like, when you see, like, the guys, like, the old guys who are like, I'm a good painter. It's like, you know, you're not. You just mix bleach bone with everything and try to highlight up from there. It's an off-white color. It's like, that doesn't necessarily work when you're painting. You never use white. You never use white. You always got to have a cut with something, like bleach bone. You know, you got to have off-white. I'm like, dude, you got no fucking clue. Your models are obviously dipped. You're dipped not even in quality dip. You're just dipped in dipped in paint.
You just maybe put a little bit of a mineral spirits in there and then just threw the model in. You pulled it out and expected it to look good.
Exactly. You're like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Oh, I hate that. That's the worst thing in the world about just tabletop shit in general, is just like how expensive it is and how people just treat it like crap.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is a unwillingness to learn.
Yeah. That's very, very true.
Because you got a guy who's been doing it a certain way for 10, 20 years, like, he's not going to change.
Well, yeah.
Even if you show him, like, this way is faster and will produce better results, a lot of those guys are just like, eat shit! I'm painting my tanks how I want! Fuck off!
It's a Damocles. It's the best Damocles ever.
It's got opening doors.
It's got lights. The lights work!
God damn it.
It's fully functional. Oh god, it's my Damocles! Oh god. Yeah, no one's gonna get that fucking reference.
Have you seen my Damocles? Showing it to all the moms.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, but it's the same thing with, like, little kids. Little kids are the exact fucking same way, except they're just like, not my money! Blah!
Yeah, but a lot of little kids were, like, when I was working at Workshop, most of the little kids would actually fucking listen to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the hell are you doing? Stop.
Stop it.
Just stop. You don't cam hand your paintbrush and jam it into the paint pot and then just slather that on the model. And it's wrong, Billy.
It's wrong.
You need to stop.
Well, that's just, like, it's same thing. It's, like, little kids and old men are the exact same way with any sort of hobby stuff. It's, they just throw paint at their models.
They just do it.
And then they just, they don't even, like, put their models, like, they don't take care of their shit. They just, like, grab everything.
Into
just,
the shoebox.
Into a shoebox. Just, like, if you could imagine an arm going across a table and sweeping $350 worth of metal into a box. That's what it's like.
Yeah. I don't know. There are some people who will listen, and most people do will listen. They'll actually learn something and will paint better. And I shoot when I'm painting an army game like Warhammer, Warhammer 40,000, or
War Machine.
War Machine kind of is an army game. It's like,
oh, you're saying like an army game, like a big army game, yeah, not like a skirmish game.
I mean an army game.
Like, well, yeah. When you say army game, I'm just like, okay, little figures on a
table. Yeah, no, that's not. I didn't mean Toymen.
Toymen.
I meant in the terms of like big, lots of models, because you know. War Machine Force, a high-end War Machine Force has 50 models in it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a regiment in fantasy. So, when I'm painting army-wide, I don't go for, you know, a super high detail, and because there's no reason to.
No.
Because no one's ever going to, like, maybe someone will see it.
I like doing it.
But that's because you like wasting your time.
I do. I really do.
I don't see a reason. I think having an army that looks great as a whole and looks great from the table is all you need. I mean, I respect the guys who spend a ton of time on all of their figures. I just would rather paint more than one army in my lifetime.
More figures!
Yeah, I'd rather be able to paint things.
I was actually at the bunker, and I was talking to some guys, and it was some of the guys that worked there and some of the other people. And there was a guy there who was just like, they were talking about putting together a new army, and like the way that they do it is they have like a little thing where they put all the armies they don't play into a hat, and then they pick out of that, and they're like, oh, you build this, and I'm like, well, that's great and everything, but how about this? And they're like, well, you could build this and this and this. And I'm like, well, that's great, but why don't you, like, write a list of, you know, 2,500 points, and you only build that list. Only that, regardless of how well it actually plays.
Yeah.
Just do that and see that. And they're like, I can't do that, man. No, fuck no.
That's crazy talk.
That's crazy talk.
I like this. If I want to have a big army, I will design a 3,000 point list.
I'll
design the 3,000 point list. I'll put that list together, and then you have a 3,000 point list, and you actually have a 2,400 point list with a lot of variation.
That's kind of how I do. I don't do 3,000. I do 2,500, and then I do an extra 500 of having fun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I just pick out what I want, and I just like, I'm gonna put an army together because I don't care.
I see you got the Forge World Weathering Dust here.
I do. I have the Rust. The rust weathering powder.
Have you liked it? Do you like the powder?
Yeah, it's really good. I used it on the Nurgle Warriors, yeah. And it turned out really good. It's messy. And
do you do it? Do you do dry or do you do like do you liquefy it and then paint it on?
I tried both.
Yeah.
I actually ended up liking the liquefied version.
Yeah.
It's you have a little less control over where you want it exactly, but I think the result at the end is pretty good. However, it's a big fucking mess.
The powder's worse. The powder is, and when you put it on dry, when you
oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just like it's like a cloud of fucking pigment.
Yeah, that's why I liked the melting it, because when it dried, it would leave like sediment where it wanted.
Crusties.
Yeah, but it would leave.
And that looks good with Nurgle.
Yes, and it kind of leaves it where you want it too, because when it's liquid, it sinks into the cracks. So if you put it on a guy's chainmail, you'll get a lot of guys who have like a bunch of like rust crust in. Inside the ring, which looks really cool.
I heard you get a lot of crust inside the ring.
Rust crust.
Rust crust inside the ring.
Yeah. I'm so steampunk, I shit rusty chain.
I'm so steampunk, I shit gears.
Yeah. But, I mean, and it looks really nice. I don't know how applicable you could use, how applicable it would be on, like, just kind of like a general or a light rust effect on armor. It's probably not controllable enough for that, and not necessarily. You might be able to control it,
and that's what
doesn't seem to be worth the effort.
That's what's nice about the dry.
Yeah,
is that the dry? If I've tried a couple different things, looked online. One of the things I really like, and this is something you kind of gotta, you know, practice and do it. Like, you gotta put the powder on dry, and then you spray it with hairspray.
Okay,
and then you put another fine layer on, and then it looks you get a nice little effect with it.
I mean, but I can see doing that for like bigger stuff, like dreadnoughts and tanks, which is fine. And I think the weathering pigments are awesome for vehicles and big models. I'm saying on 28 mil guys, it's it's kind of like, why don't you just paint a little? If you're just
yeah. I mean, there's certain things like I use powders. I use the snow powder on a couple figures. I like using the there's like some greens and some browns I like using. And also, what's kind of fun too is Tamiya puts out a weathering stick.
A stick.
It's like it's almost like lipstick almost. And you just kind of just rub it on the boots. And it's like they have browns and of different colors, and it looks like mud. It legit, when it dries, it like dries like mud.
That's kind of sweet.
It looks really nice. I haven't seen it too much in the States. I picked it up from an importer who had a small booth at Gen Con 2 years ago, and I really like it.
Importer, exporter.
Mm-hmm. He had all sorts of hentai and tentacles. That's great. It's Tamiya, so it's Japanese and stuff.
Yeah.
Japanese. So as long as we're on the subject of Games Workshop, you might as well go into the other big news, which is the Empire release. I know how you feel. I texted you and I was like, "What do you think of new Empire stuff?" And you're like, "It's Empire." Like, fuck you.
I mean, it's the Empire. I mean,
have you ever put together an Empire army?
I have put together an Empire army. How it was long the ago most was it? Boring fucking army I've ever played.
How
in my
long
life.
Ago was it?
6th edition.
Oh, well,
that's not that long ago.
Yeah, but the models for 6th edition were ass.
Yeah, but fuck the models. The army's boring as shit to handle.
I love that army.
It's because, again, you like to waste your time.
Well, it's also I'm that kind of like historical player who's like, I like it because it looks like the 16th century Swiss and Germans.
So lame. I mean,
halberds everywhere.
I have seen a few Empire armies that look really good, and they look fantastic. And it's not a slight on the models. I think most of the models are really good now. There were some really bad ones before, like the guys whose face ran into his rifle. Like my face and my rifle are one.
Yeah, those were like the inbox guys. Yeah, I know they were bad. Big box set,
but that's okay. The newer models all look nice. It's just the thing I do like about the new stuff is it's making it look like the Empire is going to be less boring.
Yeah,
because the Empire it's just visually kind of boring to me because it's like, okay, there's humans.
Yeah,
and humans.
Yeah.
Guys riding horses. And oh, there's a steam tank. That thing's pretty sweet.
Steam tank.
Like that thing's cool. Steam tank's awesome. But the rest of the army's just very like That's why I see a lot of really, really nice converted Empire armies. Like I saw one who did an army of Nuln, and what he did is he really focused on the engineer side of things. So he had dudes with clockwork legs and big clockwork helm.
Yeah.
And that was very cool because it had a really nice, like, not ho-hum look. But, you know, the standard Empire out of the box is, like, puffy shirts, swords, and shields.
They got the shirts aren't puffy anymore. It's all good. All the puff is gone.
And if I was doing an Empire army again, I would definitely stick to the like, gritty gothic feel. So my Empire would not look clean. They would look like they've been like walking through shit.
Well, when I get my new Celestial Hurricanium. So what do you think? What do you think?
Those new models are sweet.
I love the Celestial Wizard Hurricanium.
Is that the one with the globe or
that's the globe?
Okay, I don't know it. Having no idea what their rules are, my guess is one is an AOE machine.
That's the Hurricane. It's a buff. It's a defensive
AOE
buff.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And then the other one's like a big laser.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking laser. There's all the magnifying glasses,
which looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks very cool, and that looks like it's gonna be very exciting and cool. And you're like, oh wow, there's gonna be some real diversity because it's like. It's kind of like dwarves.
Yeah.
Like, I like dwarves. Dwarves are cool, but the dwarf army is really boring. Because all you have are dwarf infantry. Mm-hmm. You've got dwarf infantry, and you have dwarf infantry standing with artillery pieces.
Well, this is also part of my whole complaint about the... I'll get into this in just a second, but with the Empire, those things are really cool. It's the same chassis that they're now using for the new War Altar. Two separate box sets, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the War Altar multi-kit as well?
No, the War Altar, the Celestial Wizard and the Light Wizard wagons.
Is one box.
Is one box set. The War Altar is another box set, and it's just the War Altar.
Okay.
The only thing that switches out is you can switch an Archlector with Volkmar.
Okay, Volkmar
so,
the Grim.
So, yeah, it's a carry.
I think that's fair, because they're not obviously not going to do a three set.
I know, kit. When I first saw it, I was like, holy shit, is this going to be like a three box set? And
I figured that wasn't the case, because the War Altar looked so different, other than like the actual like base chassis, the like top part,
yeah,
where you see the like the Griffin statue and stuff, like that looked so different. I was like, there's no way it's the same kit.
That's a small sprue, I bet you. I bet you it's not a very large one.
Yeah.
And then you got the... The big griffin, the big bird.
I think the big griffin is awesome.
I think it looks fucking retarded.
I think it looks awesome.
I'm gonna see it in person because I feel a lot of it has to do with how it was photographed and how it was painted.
Yes, because that's what I'm going with. Because the last time I saw a model, last time I saw a big workshop model, that I was just like, that looks really fucking dumb. When I saw it in person, I was like, oh, actually, that looks badass.
What is that?
That was the the skeleton. I guess it wasn't really, well, big model, but it was the snake riders for the Tomb Kings. Yeah. All of the pictures of those models, they look stupid as fuck.
Are actually pretty nice.
What the hell are you doing? These are... Fuck! They're so bad!
Flip the table!
Yeah, flip the table. Like, you're ruining my favorite army! So, and they look terrible. And then I actually saw them in person, and they're badass. Yeah. They're totally badass. You know what? Privateer Press is a perfect, obviously not workshop, but Privateer Press is a perfect example. When they were first coming out and like maybe like halfway through the company's life cycle, all of their models looked like shit. All of the pictures looked so bad, but when you actually see the figure in person, you're like, oh, that figure's great. Why the hell did they take some shitty pictures?
Well, there's a couple historical game companies that put out the worst like painted pictures I've ever seen in like advertising.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no one is going to buy your models because you get the shittiest painters in the world to do your promo work.
Yeah.
And I don't think, but I think the Griffin's, here's my two problems with the Griffin. One, I think it was photographed really bad.
Yeah, it's kind of got like a weird angle.
Yeah, going and the on. Second thing is that, so it makes the head look really tiny.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that that big Griffin's coming out right after they just put out, not right after, but it's been like a couple years since they put out the Griffin from the Island of Blood box set.
Okay.
On the High Elf one.
Yeah, but that one's not a big Griffin.
I know, but I think it looks awesome. It looks exactly like what I think a Griffin should look like. And this thing is this massive fucking turkey.
It's huge. And that's why I think it's cool. I think every force is going to get a Land Raider, quote unquote, you know, for fantasy. Mm-hmm. Every army's going to have one. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do for Empire? They already have a tank.
They already got a tank. So they're getting some wizard mobiles and a fucking turkey.
Yeah,
a
fucking giant ass, badass Chimera dragon nonsense. Cockatrice, double-headed,
I like the
fire-breathing bird of doom.
Bird of doom.
I mean, I think it looks awesome. I think it'll be a great figure. I think it's going to be a cool addition to the Empire Army, and it gives it a good visual. Like, you have this fucking badass. Because that's the only thing. When I had the dudes on the... Because I had the Electric Count on the Griffin, the previous one. The model that they discontinued to keep Carl Franz as the Griffin Rider model, even though the Carl Franz Griffin Rider model was garbage.
I disagree.
Compared to the Electric Count on Griffin.
Well, the Electric Count on Griffin, the one you're talking about, is the one that's on his hind legs and is kind of like doing this weird...
It's
like,
rearing up.
No, it's not even rearing up. It's doing this weird, like, sexy back arch. Like, ooh, look at my butt.
Well, maybe if you built it like that...
That's how it looks!
I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah, exactly.
You know what you're talking about.
Also with giant metal wings, so the thing had to be pinned with...
Carl Franz has had metal wings, too.
Yeah, but it was built back when fucking shit was solid.
Oh my god, I have to use a Dremel. This is bullshit.
It was bullshit.
I have to push the button and fucking screw it in with pins. I fucking hate this hobby.
It wasn't even pins. It was 10 penny nails you had to use.
Well, I guess my advice to you is to be a better hobbyist.
Be a better hobbyist.
Yeah.
It was like fucking, like, that was some work getting that thing. And the thing was... First, it was mounted, I think, on a 40 mil. It wasn't even a 50 mil.
I think it was a 40 mil. Griffins are in 50s.
Yeah, but I think it was originally on a 40 mil when it came out the first time.
Before 50, I think it came out before 50 mil was a base.
I think it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think it was on a 40 mil, and that thing would fall over all the time, right into your nicely painted figures, and it would go well, this massive holocaust of your figures.
You should probably just put some weights on the base.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I mean, I've done it before. There's plenty of times. But anyway, I digress. That Griffin, I think. I think that Griffin is going to be a very characterful and cool-looking addition to the army.
Then you got the...
Because, I mean, it looks like it's going to be on the Arachnarok base. So,
yeah.
That's fucking huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, the Arachnarok base...
It's huge, Jerry!
It's huge. By the way, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but I sent it to you. The He-Man playing Skeletor playing D&D.
Do I have the power?
Sadly, no.
Curses! So good.
That if you could find it, find Skeletor playing RPG, and it's It just fucking...
It's pretty...
Every time I've looked at it, I just giggle inside uncontrollably.
Trying to trap Jaws the DM.
No, Beastman.
Oh, Beastman's
DM. You're like, Beastman's a terrible DM.
Yeah, he is. He's awful. So I like that Griffin. I think it's cool looking. Yeah. I think everyone who thinks the it looks bad currently... I mean, maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe it'll look just as dumb in person. But I hate to pass final judgment until I've seen the kid in person.
Yeah, I mean, and this is something I was going to talk about a little bit. And I'll get back to it. But the last thing is the demigryphs.
I love those.
I like them too. I kind of think they're a little expensive for what you're getting, but in terms of like how much model,
they're plastic, right?
They're plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's 50. I think it's like 55, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. Because I understand that the monstrous cav or the monstrous, you know, infantry, whatever every army is going to be getting, is going to be running at that 55. I just think that some of the stuff that's you get. More for your money, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it all depends on how many... Because we'll have to see the rules first before we can make that, you know...
Well, they have cavalry halberds, which is...
That's strong, but we need to see what the points cost is, you know, what kind of units... Because, like, the ogre cav, they're awesome, but you need four.
Yeah.
Like, the box comes with two, you need four.
You've got to field four. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, are they going to get rank bonus? What's fucking going on with them?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I mean, if the Ogre Cav... I'm not complaining with the Ogre Cav, I think they're sweet, and I think four is fine.
Yeah.
But if they could be fielded as a block of two, and were really, really good as a block of two, then it'd be a great value.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I get you.
Yeah, it's all based on what you're like. Like, still, the best army in fantasy for your money is demons.
Yeah.
Like... You're never gonna, like, this is probably, like, my friend who kept comparing every release to fucking demons. He's like, that's bullshit, I can get a block of demons for $29, and no problem. And just rambles off into nonsense. I'm like, yes, that's fine, you're playing the most cost-effective army in the game, points-wise and dollar-wise.
Yeah.
And that's why, I don't know, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
We'll have to see the rules. I think the models look sweet. I think that's awesome because it ties in with that Forge World guy.
Yeah, the Bruckner.
Yeah, from Nuln.
Nuln, yeah, I have that.
Very model. Cool. I also really like the Nuln plate rifleman. Rifleman with full plate on. That's pretty sweet.
This is kind of what I was going into is thematically, like, my big problem with the Big Griffin is that it thematically doesn't fit with the rest of the Warhammer world.
I disagree.
Well, and this is the only reason I'm saying is because there are other Griffins that... You know, that are out there currently in the game, including the High... And especially when I'm thinking of the High Elf one. And they look so dramatically different.
Well, that's because the High Elf Griffins are from... where the fuck the High Elves are from?
Ulthuan.
Ulthuan? Whatever.
Yeah. Come on!
Dude, I know a lot about the Warhammer background, but I'll be damned if I learn about the Elves.
High or dark.
Yeah, high, dark, or wood. Don't give a shit.
I thought you didn't believe the Wood Elves existed anymore.
What?
Exactly.
T3 armies are not for me.
T3 armies are not for me. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that so you can wear an Adepticon.
T3 armies are not for me.
But I mean, there are other companies that do such a better job of keeping things thematically throughout their armies. Privateer Press is probably the best.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of their stuff like really fits well together. And part of it is you have to have... Like the same team of sculptors working on everything.
That and Privateer Press is newer, and they don't have a backlog of miniatures and old models they have to deal with.
I'm not throwing out the old Griffins and just the current plastic one that's out.
The Carl Franz Griffin looks more like the giant Griffin than the other one does.
I completely agree on that. But it's just like, while you have this Griffin out right now. With the Island of Blood box set, it's kind of just sad that you have this like great looking Griffin that fits on like a 40 or 50, you know, and it's flying.
Yeah, but it's tiny.
Yeah, it's smaller. But then you have this monstrous thing that's bigger than dragons,
and it's sweet.
It's bigger than a dragon.
Well, sounds like the dragons.
When have you ever seen a Griffin bigger than a dragon? Seriously, I'm going to make this nerd argument.
Well,
this is the epitome of nerd arguments, by the way.
Technically, I mean, I could throw this out there. In D&D and in the Palladium Fantasy game...
Oh, tell me this.
There are multiple types of dragons. Yes. There's lots of different types. There's, like, the Great Horned Dragon. Like, Palladium's got a lot more and better dragons than D&D did, because D&D just was like, they're blue, red, green, black, or white. Those are dragons! Yeah, and Palladium, like, they're like, there's the Great Horned Dragon, the Nocturnus Dragon, all sorts of things. But their dragon sizes are all vastly different. Like, there's dragons in... Like, the Great Horned Dragon is the biggest. It's fucking huge. No griffin is bigger than the Great Horned Dragon.
Yeah.
But there are several medium-sized or smaller-sized dragons where a griffin would be of comparable or larger size.
The only thing I could say in terms of the Warhammer world as a whole...
This would be like a dire griffin.
Yeah. There's only, I think, two current dragons in the game. I could be wrong. No, three.
There's the Chaos Dragon.
There's the Chaos Dragon.
There's the Dark Elf Dragon.
Dark Elf Dragon.
There's the High Elf Dragon.
High Elf Dragon.
I mean, there's also the Wood Elf Dragon.
Yeah, the one that came with the Sisters of Twilight, which is a very small dragon.
Because it's the old one.
It's the old one.
But, well, it's based off of the old one.
Yeah. But those are the only ones, and those dragons are nowhere near the size of that griffin. And that's the only reason I'm saying, like, right now, the biggest monster in fantasy, it's bigger than the Cockatrice. It's bigger than the Basilisk. It's bigger than the Jabberslith.
Jabberslith!
It's the biggest...
It may not be bigger than Jabberslith. Is Jabberslith on a chariot or on a Arachnarok base?
It's on a chariot base.
Okay, then it's probably bigger. But I will say this. The armies we've just mentioned with dragons in them have not had a redux.
It's true, and Chaos is getting the redux probably in July.
So I doubt Chaos will get another dragon so soon. Chaos doesn't have a dragon.
No, they have the guy's riding the...
Manticore. It's a manticore. I thought it was...
Manticore! It's got a scorpion tail! It'll sting you with venom!
But they can still get Galrok. But,
Galrok, the two-headed dragon of chaos.
I would imagine, like, if they're gonna... The Chaos Land Raider is a dragon, it's gonna be...
Yeah, they're gonna... It's...
Arachnarok, it's huge.
Dragon and War Altar are gonna be the two big kits that you're gonna get with the Chaos release.
Yeah, it'll probably be a chariot / altar.
You think?
I think. That's the natural
move. They do need a plastic chariot.
Yeah, that's the natural move. You have a chassis that works as a chariot, or you can flip it around or whatever and make it a altar of chaos, shrine of chaos.
One last Warhammer thing, and then we'll move on from Warhammer world. We'll go into other realms. As I was talking very earlier, is that with the dwarves, you were talking about the dwarf release, where it's all infantry. The biggest problem is that dwarves, dark elves... The reason why no one, and what else, not what else to a certain extent, but those are armies that they need to have a release where they can, like, have some fun stuff added. Because right now, it's like, those armies are completely hindered by the fact that they're over 50% metal. Everything that they have is 50% metal, or fine cast.
Yeah, well, I mean, not even that. It's just I think it's the fact that the bulk of the army... is the same model.
Well, yeah, it's because that they haven't had a re-release in a long time. Dark Elves did, but Dark Elves were so old when they were re-released. It's like they're just...
I mean, the Dark Elf stuff's nice. They got the Corsairs.
I would not be surprised if, like, next month, because no one really knows what's going to be coming out next month, if there's not, like,
it's gonna be a 40K release, isn't it?
It could be like another wave of something or other. Mm. I mean, because, like, what June is that going to be the box set for the new 40K? Or is it July?
I don't think so.
It's either June or July.
I don't know.
It's something like that.
But that's just Scuttlebutt. They haven't announced anything official anyway.
Scuttlebutt!
The Scuttlebutt's usually pretty accurate. But
yeah, I mean, I always find that funny, like, when I go and I'm like, so, what do you think of this, you know, upcoming thing? And they're like, I have no idea about it. I'm like, dude, what? It's everywhere. If you're in this hobby, you've seen this. Bell of Lost Souls, Warseer, Daka.
Beasts of War.
Beasts of War, Warhammer Fantasy Gaming. Like, everyone has this shit out there. You just need to, like, you just need to get that shit out there. Like, the new Forge World, flyer for 40K. Space Marine, it looks like a Thunderhawk. It's like
Fuck that thing. You know what? there's the preview of Monstrous Arcana.
Yeah.
And there's one of the pages is a Tomb Kings model. Yeah. It's a gigantic stone and metal scarab.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Where is that model? I want that.
That's gonna come.
That thing, that is what, that, I want that. And I will, I will fucking use it. I will bring it to every tournament. I don't give a shit if it's banned. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care if people don't want me to use it. I'm bringing it. And I'm gonna fucking smash their models with it. I'm actually gonna pick up my resin block scarab and I'm gonna hit their army. And I'm just like, you can't handle it. That's the thing I'm most excited about. It's just a tiny little fucking picture. I'm like, yes! Yes!
So, speaking of going to tourneys, we're gonna... This is like a preview announcement, is we're actually gonna have a game classy tourney.
This is the teaser announcement announcement.
Because we haven't actually, we haven't worked out all the specifics, but Game Classy is gonna sponsor a tourney. It's gonna have a painting contest. It's going to be the classiest tournament ever.
Yeah, that's true. You will be scored on your classy level.
On your level of classiness?
Yeah, and we will arbitrarily decide what is not classy. And you will not know how we're going to decide this.
You know what, it's so fucking bad. We shouldn't say that, because there's going to be people who are like, I'm not going to play that. A tournament should only be based off if you win or lose.
That sounds like that guy's not classy.
No, not classy at
all.
Not
classy.
I don't want that guy in my tournament.
No, he's not classy. I'm just saying. Like, I want classy people. Yeah. I want to see classy people. I want to talk to classy people.
You want
to
be a classy person.
I am a classy person. No, I don't need to want. Have you met me? I'm fucking awesome.
I'm surprised you're wearing pants right now, in all honesty.
I should take my pants off.
God. We're going to actually host a tournament, like, and do that out there. It's going to be at the Bunker. I've already gotten approval.
The Games Workshop Chicago Battle Bunker.
Yeah, in Downers Grove. So we're just...
Illinois!
We haven't even...
I'm sure we have tons of out-of-state listeners.
Some guy down in Arkansas is like, oh, shucks. He's got this fucking beautiful Eldar army he wants to bring.
The best goddamn Eldar army in the world.
No one's ever seen it. It'd be funny, we get this approval to have it at the Bunker, and it's going to be a War Machine tournament. Everyone comes with their War Machine. Tim flips his shit. Just like, get out! That would be the standard thing. And we haven't even figured out if it's going to be 40K or fantasy. It might be Lord of the Rings. You have my sword.
And my ass!
Don't scream. I gotta tone the levels down on this shit.
But I like screaming.
I know you do. So anyway, I wanted to have it a little bit after Adepticon, because Adepticon is coming in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks?
After this week.
That's good, because I thought it was next week.
No. Well, this weekend is Easter weekend, so it's not that. And the week after C2, E2, then Adepticon, then Little Wars, which you don't like Little Wars. That's all historical players.
Is H.G. Wells going to be there?
Yes, he will be there in his time machine.
Maybe I'll stop by to see H.G. Wells. He's a pretty cool guy.
By Jove! What are these little games? A war? A world war? Two of them?
When did the third happen?
Look at all these little tanks! Flames of war, you say?
Just imagine him pushing around the tanks like...
Have you ever actually read Little Wars, his book?
No.
It's actually pretty interesting, because it's like the way he describes it is like... It's like, I'm like, this is kind of the rules I came up with when I was like 7, when I'm playing with my little army men.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this guy can move here, and he can shoot this guy over there. The other guy goes, no, he can't, because this guy's being blocked.
He's got a shield.
Bullets can go through shields.
I remember the Riot Cop. I had the Riot Cop little plastic army man. He was a little blue Riot Cop. And, like, no one could stop him, because he clearly had a shield. Ah. So it's like, the bazooka guy shoots him. Nope, shield. And then he got banned. You couldn't use him anymore. He was unstoppable. He had a shield. And he had the baton. He'd just hit you. He'd block whatever you do, and he'd hit you. So, tournament. Maybe fantasy. Maybe 40K.
We haven't decided yet.
We could do War Master.
We'll get, like, 6 people, maybe. Yeah. I'm looking to get, like, a bigger group of people, so, like, for promotional purposes.
Well, I don't know. 6 people that sounds like it could be classy.
It could be very classy. I don't know. Have you seen the type of people that play War Master? I play War Master.
That's true. So do I.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah.
It's quite.
I'm actually quite proud of you. You actually made it through this entire podcast without mentioning Mass Effect.
See, and you mentioned it.
I know, I just did, because I wanted to make sure that,
you know, I just wanted to congratulate you on not...
There's nothing more I can say that hasn't already been said.
No. So, but we're actually recording on a Saturday, which is a first. We normally record on a Sunday. You got a game going on?
I have a game going on Sunday.
What kind of game is it?
Phase World!
What is that?
It's Rifts.
Yes.
It's a sub-book of Rifts. It's a dimension book. And basically uses the Rift rules, and you have, like, an alternate dimension to play in. And it's very very sci-fi space opera with magic. It's, like, really...
Is this, like, New West?
Is it,
like, South America? Is it, like...
I know you don't watch anime.
Is it, like, Avalon?
You don't really watch anime.
I watch anime on occasion. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the anime movie called Red Line?
No, I have not seen Red Line.
Okay.
I've been on the Red Line.
Yeah. No, what about the Brown Line?
There actually is a Brown Line in Chicago.
I know. I'm from Chicago.
Not really.
No, that's where I was born.
Where were you born?
I was born on... I don't know what hospital, but I used to live in Armitage.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, so, from Chicago, originally. Yeah. Okay. And then I went to school in Skokie. Because my parents didn't want me to go to public school, I guess, so I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And that was really awkward. Considering, you know, I almost burst into flames every time I went into school.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Chicago, too. Went to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my parents didn't want me to go to public school.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do in Chicago.
So, but yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'm originally from. But anyway, I'm trying to think of an anime or a movie or something that... is similar to it, but basically it's high sci-fi, so there's tons of aliens.
Hard science fiction?
No, high science fiction.
What's the difference between hard sci-fi and high sci-fi?
Hard science fiction is within the realms of theoretical plausibility.
Okay.
So no faster than light travel. Aliens is a hard science fiction film. Good. There's no faster than light travel. They weigh that their ships are sublight speeds or like approaching the speed of light, and they have to go into cryostasis or sleep to make the long journey so they don't fucking die on their spaceship. The only alien species they encounter is completely alien. They have no way to communicate with it. It's extremely hostile. And it's, you know, it can survive in the vacuum of space. Totally different. That is a more plausible scenario that could actually happen.
Yes, that is the hard sci-fi. Arthur C. Clarke.
Yes,
style.
Hard sci-fi is something that, like, in theory, there's very few things we can be like, that's not possible. High science fiction is way faster than light travel.
It's more space opera.
Yeah, space opera.
Okay, you could just say space opera.
Well, for people who have no idea what those terms mean.
Yeah,
it's, you know, space operas, you know, there's tons of aliens. All of the aliens speak English. Star Wars is a fucking fantasy movie.
Yeah, Star Wars
is a fantasy movie.
I hate people who call Star Wars sci-fi, because I'm like, that's not sci-fi!
Yeah, it's fantasy. Like, there's very little science fiction involved.
There's no science in Star Wars.
No,
I mean...
Those Ewoks? They're fucking dead, man.
Yeah.
That Death Star irradiated the shit out of Endor.
No one believes me in the whole Endor Holocaust theory.
They're all dead. While they're all celebrating, they're all getting thousands and thousands of gigajoules of rads.
Well, not even the radiation part. I'm just talking if a thing the size of a moon exploded, there'd be huge chunks of that moon falling.
Oh, the debris?
The debris.
The debris.
Would be crashing down, causing tsunamis, massive amounts of nuclear winter.
I would just like to think that Wicket was walking around and just a little tiny chunk of the Death Star just went right through his brain.
just.
And they're like, what was that noise? And Wicket just drops. And they're like, what happened to Wicket?
Oh, man!
That's what I like to think. Right before they're all immolated.
Yeah. And the Gorax comes and eats them.
The Gorn.
No, the Gorax.
No, the Gorn.
The Gorn.
The Gorn.
He just comes and shoots his big log cannons.
Yeah. He just beats them with a log.
You ever saw the Battle for Endor, right? The old Battle for Endor?
The animated one?
No. The live action one.
No.
No. Oh, this is... It's quality. It's on the same level as the Star Wars Holiday Special. They did two.
I don't know if quality in Star Wars Holiday Special should be used in the same sentence.
Quality is a general term.
A very relative term, apparently.
No. This is actually the Caravan of Courage is what it was.
Okay.
Caravan of Courage is the one where this little family crashes on Endor and they're... Like the parents.
Oh, wait, yes, you know, I did see that. That's the live action movie.
Yeah,
right?
The parents are captured by the Gorax, which is this monstrous creature that's gigantic.
It has been a very, very long time since I've seen those movies. But I remember the kid had a headband and curly hair.
Sindel Talwani.
See? Yeah. I've only seen them once. Because as a child, I hated them.
I had it on VHS. Like, my dad recorded it off the TV, and I watched it constantly because I was that big of a Star Wars nerd. And then I just became jaded.
I'm angry, sorry.
Personally.
I'm very sorry for you. Oh. 1999 was not a good year for you.
No, it was actually 2002 that it actually all made sense to me.
It all came together?
It's just like, that's terrible!
you flipped the table.
Oh, God, it wasn't even flipping the table. It was going to see, like, the midnight showing of Star Wars Episode 2, just going, this is shit!
This is trash!
Well, first of all, I was getting to that point where I hated starting going to midnight shows. And then it was like, okay. And so I went back and saw it another time, and I was just like, oh, this is just awful. The best part, though, was that I was in the theater, and it's... Like, it started up, and it said a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and some guy behind me just went, it's going to say Star Wars.
I lost my shit.
That's awesome. that moviegoer is a champion.
He was. And it's like, I can't even tell you who it was. I wish I could take credit for it, but no. It was just like, it was this tiny voice, and it wasn't even loud. It was just, it's going to say Star Wars.
I think I would have had to excuse myself from the theater.
I did.
It was like the popcorn had been flying everywhere.
And it was just like all straight downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you had a high note.
Yeah. And it's like the only...
I hate them! With the Batman!
I hate them. I hate them so much. It felt like Gollum.
He was killing younglings.
Impregnate me with your young juice.
Oh, God.
We should talk about Star Wars games sometime.
We should. We could reference it because there was a minis game, there was a role-playing game, there were multiple card games.
Well, I mean, like, the Cypher card game got me through a lot of my new trilogy woes.
Yeah, except the game blew ass.
I liked it a lot.
That game was bad. There's a lot of reasons that game was mechanically bad, but... I digress. Let's get back to where we were. I don't remember where we were.
We're talking about space operas and high sci-fi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, with Phase World.
Yeah, so Rifts is a system that's really fucking dated. It's really old because it's from the 80s. However, most people who know Rifts, very few people can argue that the background isn't one of the best, most fleshed out gaming backgrounds.
People who like role-playing like Rifts. I don't hear a lot of... The only complaint I ever hear about Rifts is that it generally takes about a session and a half to roll your character.
Yes, characters take a very long time. Yeah. I actually had everyone come by and make their characters separately from one another.
Yeah.
Just add it, you know, on random nights. I'll be, hey, you want to come over and make your Rifts character? Because characters are very, very front-loaded, which is, it's a good thing, because your character behaves properly from the start. Because, you know, in D&D, and I always say, I use D&D as the go-to, because most people who've done tabletop have played D&D.
Yeah, everyone's played D&D.
So, a fighter, when you're level 1, you have more hit points than the rest of the team, probably better armor class, and you can hit dudes with your sword.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not really good at any of those things, because while your hit pool is deeper than the rest of the parties, you're still a chump.
Yeah.
Your armor class is not that great, and your damage, not that high. And so level 1, you're like... And AD&D was a little less like that. AD&D was a little more front-loaded than 3 or 3.5 or Pathfinder.
Yeah.
And then, so your character kind of... You can't really get a good, like, epic feel. Like, you start as a chump. You're like, you're fighting rats in the basement. You're like, yeah, there's rats in the basement to kill. And the rats may fucking kill you because you get some bad rolls.
Yeah.
So Rifts and all of the Rifts games, your character has... a shit ton of skills. So many skills. And that's what it's very heavy on the skills.
You gotta roll on every one of those skills.
You don't roll for them, but you have to list them all. So you're like, it starts at 35%. Do you get a bonus for your intelligence? What's your bonus for your class? What's the percentage per level? For every skill. And, you know, a high character class that has a lot of skills will have 14 built-in skills, and another 11 selectable skills, and then another, like, 9 selectable skills after that.
Did you ever see the thing get floated around the internet? I think it was on 4chan originally, where the guy talks about being like playing D&D and being a bear. Have you ever seen that?
I probably have.
It's a guy, he says, like, he wants to play a bear, and the dungeon master's like, okay. And so he's like, he puts all of his points into charisma to convince everybody that he's not a bear. So he takes all the money that he gets and buys a butler who walks around with him and translates everything for him. And eventually it's like everyone's can't figure out he's a bear because his charisma is so high, or whatever is so high. And finally, one person like gets like a 20 on a roll, and he's like, "What are you doing? That's a bear!" And everyone's like, "No, it's not. That's a normal dude. It's an ambassador from so and so." I think that's funny. I would like to play a game like that.
Where you are a bear?
Yeah, a Russian bear.
Nice. With a drum?
It's riding a unicycle.
Yeah, so, and so you roll up your character. It's, you know, there's not a lot of penalty. They actually only introduced penalties for low stats in the latest edition of the game. The game normally didn't have any penalties for low stats, and I kind of like to shy away from penalties, because I'm a big fan of making people roll their characters down the line, and when you do that, I'm not unfair about it, and I want people to have fun and have cool characters. So what I like to do is I like having them roll their characters down the line. There's no penalties in, if I do D&D or any game, there's no penalties, but you must roll whatever the roll is. It's straight up, so if it's 3d6, you're rolling 3d6, and you're rolling straight down the line. So you're rolling strength, dex, con, intelligence, wisdom, charisma. In that order, no rerolls, that's what you get. And the way to alleviate the whole fact that, like, if your character has a lot of stats below 10, you're penalized in those games for having low stats, which is kind of bogus, because, like, I want the idea of the characters to be heroes. So basically, I want them to have the opportunity to get bonuses through good luck, but not be penalized for bad luck. Because you get penalized for bad luck enough in the game, like, you know, wasting attacks and stuff.
When you roll poorly.
Yeah. So I might as well leave it like that. And it'll still keep the character flavorful, because if you're playing a fighter and you have a pretty low dex score, like a 9, you're not going to take a bunch of penalties to your armor class because your dex is low. But on the same end, you only have, like, in D&D, you only have about 4 stat points to invest, so you're never going to be able to turn that dex into a good score. But I mean, I'm fine with that. So anyway, you do the same thing for Rifts, and the combat system is the most dated part of the game. So there's a lot of house ruling you need to do to keep combat going briskly.
Well, doesn't I could be mistaken, because I have played... I'm almost positive I've played Rifts before. Is that, isn't there, like, it's like, okay, we gotta roll what part of the body you hit,
and then you gotta roll. There's aimed rules.
Yeah.
You can aim if you want. You don't have to do that. All non-targeted shots go at the main body.
Yeah.
And then you can target arm. I don't like to do right arm, left arm, right hand, left hand. I don't like to separate by that. I go head, torso, arm, arm, leg, leg. That's the extent that I'll do for...
You hit him in the thorax!
Yeah, I mean, I like that, though, because I mean, the idea of, like, you can your whole squad can cripple a big robot by all targeting his leg, because it's more realistic.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have a bunch of dudes, and they're all shooting at the fucking leg constantly until it goes down.
Are they going pew-pew, pew-pew?
Some might be going pew-pew, some might be going...
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Some might be rat-a-tat-tat. But lasers are silent, so a lot of people are just going... So the combat system is really dated. That's the most dated part about it. But the game's not all about combat.
No.
Unlike D&D, the best way to level in Rifts, actually by the book of experience rewards, the best way to level is to use your skills in an inventive and creative way, roleplay well, and solve problems, period. And then, like, the combat pool is, like, if it was a not if it was a trivial challenge, 25 XP. If it was a challenge, 50 XP. If it was an extreme challenge, 100 XP.
Extreme challenge, you get a monster.
Yeah.
Extreme!
It's like 100 XP, where you can get 1,000 XP for, like, having a sweet plan instead.
You're like the Oprah of Dungeon Masters. Like, you get experience points, and you get experience points! You get experience
levels points! Levels for everyone!
Look under your chairs!
Look under your chairs!
You've all leveled up!
But I like
that. Actually be a pretty funny sketch.
Oprah as a DM.
We're going to a dungeon.
No one's gonna get it.
Who's heard of Greyhawk?
I wish more people who I hope people who listen to this get that reference, because that's really funny. So
who's Greyhawk?
So there's a lot of you know, shady rules that are just dated. And I'm not going to throw the system away because...
Yeah, no, you're not going to bust the system.
Yeah, because you can house rule that. Because the parts of the game that are great is the background. Like, they have so much background. So many planets, aliens, all sorts of shit. And then, like, the Rift's Earth background is also really badass. Cool post-apocalyptic.
Well, yeah, that's what I always remember. Because I remember there used to be a... You remember, Cypher Games and Comics in Downtown Naperville,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have all those Rifts books out, and I remember going through them, going like, wow, this is interesting!
Yeah, it's cool, and the Palladium Fantasy books are good, too. They have a much better background than D&D, because yeah. D&D's background is like, there's orcs, they're evil. And the
why not?
And the Palladium Fantasy background has, like, there are orcs, would you like to play one? Would you like to find out about
like
how they
work?
Yeah, would you like to know more? Would you like to learn how the orcs roll? And, like, the Palladium Fantasy background is more of a, rather than, like, the good races, which are elves, humans, dwarves, versus the bad guy races, or goblins, orcs, etc.
Trolls.
And, like, always that way. There are monstrous races in the human races. So, like, you've got elves, humans, they're allies, but the elves are also allied with some of the monstrous races. But, like, orcs hate elves.
Yeah.
And orcs hate humans. But that's not... It's a
Actually,
rule of
I believe
thumb.
Orcs hate umans.
Umans. It's a well. Orcs aren't retards in Palladium.
Oh, they're not cockney.
No, they're actually come out. They're more like you play any of the Elder Scrolls games like Oblivion, Morrowind, Skyrim.
I've talked about that how I can't play Skyrim.
Okay, well,
it's physically outside of my because I play like a role playing game where I'm going to do everything.
Yeah.
I have to go.
Oh, you'd never be able to finish.
No, exactly. I can't.
Your life would be sapped away.
Exactly.
But orcs in those games are they
yeah.
talk and
yeah.
they are normal and
Hello,
they're
sir.
Yeah. I mean they're a little dumber. Than average, they have a small penalty to intelligence, but it's not, they're not, you know, in, like, we's gonna smash your face because we's the orcs!
Can I play an orc in the game and then just pump all of my points into intelligence?
No, because you have to roll.
Oh,
sorry, dude. Your intelligence might be super high, might be really bad.
I would love to play, like, a super intelligent orc
well,
in a fantasy game going, by Jove!
But see, that's not weird in the Palladium Fantasy,
no.
because, like, rather than being good and evil... aligned with the races, there are good and evil members of every race.
When you DM, do you make your players choose an alignment? Or you let them just kind of figure it out on their own?
Okay, so this it's most times I don't bother using alignments because most people don't actually follow what their alignment is.
Yeah,
most people just they don't know how to do it, and like they don't understand. And too many people think the alignment. Like I'll give you lawful good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just talk about lawful good, and this covers pretty much every alignment there is.
Yeah.
There's three stages of lawful good.
Yes.
You find out that lawful good is not the only alignment.
Yeah.
Number one. Because every piece of fantasy you read or, like, things
There's always the lawful good
guy. The hero is lawful good.
Yeah.
So you say, like, this guy is going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn that there's also alignments like, you know, lawful evil or chaotic evil or chaotic
neutral.
True neutral, lawful neutral. There's a whole bunch of things here. You're like, oh wow, I'm never playing lawful good. Lawful good's stupid.
Lawful good's for suckers.
That's for suckers. They have to be lawful and good.
That's for suckers for Aragorn.
What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
And then
fuck that guy.
Stage two on lawful good is you're like, lawful good is lawful stupid. You have to be so dumb because your character would never do that because he's lawful good. He would never kill that guy because he's lawful good.
Yeah. Because you're good, so you're not going to kill anybody.
And it's lawful, so it's not, it's murdering. And they don't understand it. And
yeah, well,
most people hit level two and lawful good. Most role players,
well, yeah.
they just call it lawful stupid.
Well, it's I think the argument for lawful good is usually, and this is, I'll let you finish, but the argument is generally you have to either, it's the law, what is good and what is the law, never the twain shall meet. Like, you sometimes when you're following the law, you can't be good. And sometimes when you're being good, you can't follow the law.
And people will say that breaks their lawful good alignment character. And that's step three. This is stage three. Which most people don't get to. Most people leave stage two and never go back and say it's lawful stupid. It'll never play it again. They'll go with the easier moral alignments.
Yeah.
The true lawful good. If he comes across bandits,
mm-hmm.
he's a lawful good paladin. And he comes across bandits who have slaughtered a family. And he fights the bandits, and there's two bandits left, and they surrender. They're like, mercy. He, depending on his personal choices, but by the order of lawful good, by law, he can kill them for justice.
For sweet justice.
For justice, to avenge the people they killed. And it's a good action. Or maybe he feels that taking them to the authorities is the best thing. You can do both of those under lawful good. Now, see, a novice DM or someone who doesn't really understand the alignment system, if the paladin killed the bandits to avenge the people they killed, they'd be like, oh, you've acted not lawful good and you lose your paladin powers.
That's a penalty.
Which is not accurate. And that's the thing. People are too structured about alignments. And that's why I like the Rifts alignments so much better than the
D&D
ones, because the Rifts ones are unprincipled. principled, scrupulous, miscreant, diabolic, anarchist, and they're more of a guideline rather than like it's literally like this type of person will keep their word. This type of and you can instantly think of a character for every alignment in fantasy in anything you've seen, and you'd be like that guy's like oh Han Solo, clearly miscreant, or yeah. You know like something like that. And that miscreant isn't actually
a well. I mean, and like Solo. But then you could also like, and that's also the problem is like it's. I mean, it's always like Han Solo. Everyone, what is he normally called? He's normally lawful, neutral, right?
Like chaotic good neutral. Is usually chaotic good. Where they put him, which is not accurate. Han Solo is not chaotic good.
No,
he is too selfish to be good. Like I don't think
he's that selfish. I think
Han Solo is very selfish when they first meet him. Like he develops as a character.
Well, yeah, but it's like for a total of 10 minutes in the entire Star
Wars.
His
lifetime, longer in his lifetime, was he not good?
I don't. Believe anything I see in the Star Wars movies outside of the original trilogy. Because once you start getting outside the original trilogy, you get into...
Use on Vol!
You get into some crazy-ass shit. You got holocrons, and you got the Use on Vol.
I mean, he shot Greedo.
He did shoot Greedo.
He shot Greedo. Basically gunned him down in cold blood. And that is not a good action.
I called self-defense. Not chaotic action. Ground law.
It's
he felt.
He's, but see the thing, because there's no selfish.
Really, you're not getting anything out of that.
There's no self.
I just made a reference to what happened in the news, the stand your ground law, the terrible, terrible thing that happened, and you're not even going to reference it.
Anyway, so the selfish alignments that exist in Palladium that don't exist in D&D would apply to Han Solo much, much better.
Yeah.
He's unscrupulous.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's unscrupulous. He's a gambler, you know, he's a risk taker. He doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to give you an alignment, I'd probably give you. You're pretty close to a chaotic neutral, I would say.
Yeah,
yeah. You're not evil, but you're not good.
No.
You're chaotic neutral. You're the type of guy that go in there and look at a little kid's army that he painted and it looks really good, and you just look at it and go,
meh. Eh. Get out of the hobby.
Get out of the hobby. And you'd walk away. You wouldn't be evil. You wouldn't smash the kids' figures.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, you know, but you'd just be like,
it's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. You could use some more highlights.
Yeah.
Or like when anyone gives me a list. Yeah. I used to do army list reviews at Bunker. People, you know, come up and they'd be like, oh, you got to tell me what list is. And no matter what their army was, no matter what system it was for, I would look at their list. I was like, oh, it's a good list, but it needs more boys. And I'd just throw it back at them. And then some dude brought me an orc and goblin list that was literally nothing but boys and then a war boss. And I was like, oh, it needs more boys. You got the boss in there.
I don't know. I'm the type of guy that goes up to people and oh, if you really want to know how to play that army, what you do is you line up all your figures. And then you push them on the garbage can because you sucks.
Woo woo!
What I always tell you, whenever I come down here, I look at your figures and I go, that's tabletop.
Well, like I said,
I make a comparison to an artist, to a painter you don't like, yeah, you get really mad at me.
True too. Like, fucking Joe! Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I'd say that's probably fair for me.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd like to think of more like chaotic lazy.
Chaotic lazy?
Yeah.
There's a whole new chip. There's chaotic lazy, true neutral lazy, and then good, what? I fucked it up.
Lawful lazy.
Lawful lazy.
Lawful lazy.
True
chaotic
lazy.
Lazy and true lazy.
Lazy, yeah.
That's it. I like to say I'm chaotic lazy.
You're chaotic lazy.
I'm chaotic lazy. I probably do a lot more things that were mean, but there's so much effort.
I like to feel like I'm neutral nerdy. Like, I'd add the nerdy link. Yeah. Like, there's...
I think I have...
Lawful nerdy, true nerd, neutral nerdy, and chaotic nerdy.
Yeah. I mean, you vehemently hate things, just like me. So it's a little more...
There's things that I vehemently hate, and they're just... But they're so... My hatred is so to the extreme that I can't... Like, normally I'm just like, whatever. If you fucking like it, you fucking like it. But it's like, there's certain things that, like, the Star Wars Expanded Universe, anything for the original trilogy, like, that shit just fucking tears out my heart. And sounds
Voyager?
Voyager is another one. Voyager... See, my problem with Voyager is that, yes, it was bad, but the problem is...
What about Chakotay?
It was so... It wasn't bad... But it's painful to watch because it's so slow and the characters are so uninteresting. And it's not like I hate Voyager.
I like the Doctor.
It was It was an interesting enough show, but when I marathon the whole Star Trek thing from...
I could watch Next Generation. Never stop.
Well, but I marathoned everything from the original series all the way up to Enterprise. And I'll tell you what, Enterprise is infinitely better than Voyager. Enterprise should have had another season, and it would have proved itself as much better. But Voyager was just so fucking boring. That's all it was.
Yeah.
And Kate Mulgrew is not an interesting person at all.
I was always talking about it, like, with my other friends who like Star Trek, and I always thought it would be very interesting if, after Next Generation, the next series was about something different in the Star Trek world.
Yeah.
Like, why not they have soldiers still.
Yeah. Like, why not, like, Marines
or a Klingon, like, a Klingon bird of prey. Like, it is about a Klingon bird of prey which is trapped behind enemy lines, and...
Well, there's a great, remember that episode of Next Gen where Riker, they do the exchange? I think it's Sins of the Father is the name of the episode, if I'm not mistaken, because Worf's brother comes on... on the exchange thing.
Oh yeah.
And so Riker's hanging out with a bunch of Klingons.
Yes,
that's cool. They're like, "How do you like your blood worms?" And he's like, "I normally like them alive." something stupid like that. And you're like, "Yes, Riker."
Riker, sweet.
I think it's good,
and I think that the problem was is Voyager was it was coming off of what is arguably the best Star Trek, and I think it's the best Star Trek.
Well, technically, it was coming off of Deep Space Nine,
which was a spin-off of the best Star Trek.
Well, I think the problem was that Voyager, and I really shouldn't get into this on this podcast because this has nothing to do with gaming. But you do bring up. I can't help talking about Star Trek sometimes.
Well, it's phase world. It's fantasy. It's sci-fi.
Fantasy sci-fi. I think the biggest problem was I think they wanted to go sexier and edgier with this with Voyager, but I think Brandon Braga, who is fucking terrible, and Rick Baker, he's some fucking special thing.
Yeah. Kenny Bania.
No, they at the last minute they were just like, "Man, it's too much, we can't do this, Gene Roddenberry would cry."
I'll have you know, Naked Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry's favorite party games.
You're one of the other people who watched the Clerks cartoon. That's come up because they're gonna bring it back.
Really?
Yeah, they're gonna bring
that. That's badass. He's badass. So phase world.
Well, actually, we're getting towards the end here, so why don't you wrap it up on the phase world?
Okay. Well, for phase world, that is the game I'm gonna start running tomorrow. I told them to make their characters, give me an idea why their character would be recruited for like a special tasks unit, and I'm gonna put all the characters together, introduce all the characters together with one character basically like going over their dossiers, and he's like, "This guy is the best goddamn pilot in the galaxy." Or this guy once stopped an entire war with one bullet, kind of like putting together a super team, and they're going
kind of like Mission Impossible when they go back to their apartment and look over the photos and say like, "Who's a good guy for the job?"
Exactly.
I get what you're saying,
and I'm gonna send them off on their mission, and then dun, we'll see how that plays out.
All right, so that's it for today. We covered a lot of topics,
mostly just Star Trek.
We're talking about Star Trek Voyager. Some guy, like I know Max, me who listens, is gonna be like, "Fuck Star Trek." the big news is we're gonna have a tournament. So stay tuned for information on that, and for more information, I actually started a little Game Classy webpage. This is kind of like, since Game Classy is kind of a little bit content heavy. And we talk about a lot of shit, like, you know, the games we like, and like, we talk about our own models and stuff. I started a blog spot. It's gameclassy.blogspot.com. It's just going to be a place where me and Steve are going to put pictures of our shit, pretty much. And I'll probably put announcements about the tournaments and stuff like that, or, you know, if we're going to be somewhere. Like, we're going to be at Adepticon, probably later on the day on Saturday, because Saturday's record store day, and I got to go out and buy vinyl.
You're the worst.
I know. Hipster.
You're the worst.
But there's a special edition.
I even think you only just kind of looked like a hipster, but now...
I am a
Where's
hipster.
Your PBR? You ready to drink it ironically?
PBR. No. I drink very expensive microbrews from overseas.
That's also a hipster. You could go two routes. You can go with the very expensive microbrew, or go with the PBR.
I'm not arguing the point. I try not to dress like a hipster, at least. No hipsters love a Star Trek equals my own. I like Star Trek before it was cool.
I don't know if liking Star Trek is cool. I think that still has it hasn't crossed that.
Like once you can start naming the episode where Riker eats Gok,
the plug worms.
It's called Gok.
I like them alive.
Actually, it's really funny. Just to add on, we're getting a guest that's going to be on the Planet Arbitrary main podcast, which you should listen to as well. Is a friend of mine who was in the Klingon Christmas Carol. She's going to come on, and we're going to talk Star Trek.
Nice. Yeah. Is she just going to speak in Klingon?
She does. She can't speak Klingon. Or she could at least recite her lines in Klingon. Also, this is this is going to be the first podcast for Game Classy where Game Classy is going to be on its own feed. So if you subscribe to Game Classy, you're only going to get Game Classy, which is different because you used to get Planet Arbitrary and the Retro Game Review, the other podcast with it, but this is going to be its own separate thing. The only reason I did that is so it's a little easier to find on the iTunes, because now you're going to look at gaming and boom, there's Game Classy right up there. So that's going to be fun.
Ballers!
Ballers! Hopefully I don't fuck it up, because this is all brand new to me. I'm trying to figure this out.
I have absolutely no confidence in you.
You know, I have no confidence in myself either. But planetarbitrary.com, for all your Planet Arbitrary needs, is where you're still going to get the podcast if you like to stream it. I'm not going to stream it through the little Blogspot site.
Like everything on Facebook.
Like everything on Facebook, Game Classy and Planet Arbitrary. Like Planet Arbitrary the most so we can get some monies.
Dude, there's like 6 people who like the Game Classy page. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel kind of Game Classy.
Nice.
It makes me feel a little classy.
Nice.
So I guess I could say until next time,
it's always fun when you're winning. We'll be right back.